Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's Shiur is Shavuos Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In looking at the Gemara on Daf Tes Zayin in Shavuos, let us, before beginning the actual Shiur, take note of the Nosei, the topic heading that appears in the outside margin. Haim tzrichim kol hadvorim horishumim b'mishnah. Do we need all of the elements that are listed off in the Mishnah kedei lahoisiv kedusha, in order to add to the sanctified area? The Mishnah made reference to adding to the sanctity of Jerusalem or the temple courtyard, the Azoros, and in order to do so, there was a list of elements that were required. The Mishnah had mentioned Ein Mosifin al Eir v'Azoros Ela b'Melech v'Novi v'Tumim v'Sanhedrin Shoshim v'Echad v'Shtei Todos v'Shir. Do we need all of the elements? O Sagi b'Echad mehem. Or is it sufficient to have one of them? L'Rav Huna bo'i kulam. In our Gemara, we will notice Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Their names are circled. Rav Huna says that you require all of them. Rav Nachman, sagi be'echod mehem. According to Rav Nachman, one is sufficient. He'ora, we want to point something out. Bizman Ezra, in the time of Ezra, who built the second Beis HaMikdash, lo hoyo melech, there wasn't a king, v'lo hoyu urim v'tumim, and likewise there wasn't the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara will feature a couple of different markings. Toward the relative beginning of the Gemara, we'll notice a diamond used, and that's explained in the Mivneh, the structural note, Kosovar. That word you'll find twice in a diamond. So this is a word featuring the Machloikes Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman, that is Mevusos al Shitosan Benoise Kedusha Rishoina. The Machlokis Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, Rav Huna who said you need all of the elements in order to increase the sanctity, this is because he holds, we'll come back to what his position is, but their Machlokis is based on the Kedusha Rishona, the original Kedusha that was established when the Beis HaMikdash was originally built in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and during that era, Yerushalayim was sanctified. If that Kedusha was Rak L'Shaita, was only for that particular moment in time, however, when the Churban Bayis Rishon came about, the sanctity was lost. Hoy Gam L'Osid Lovo, or was the original sanctity something that was sufficient for all time to come as well? Let's now turn to the Gemara. Itmar, Rav Huna, Omar, Bechol Elu Tanan. The list in the Mishnah is inclusive, and if one of the elements is missing, then there is no further Kedusha. There's no chance to create Kedusha. Rav Nachman, Omar, Beachas Mikol Elu Tanan. It's sufficient to have one of the elements that the Mishnah lists in order to achieve Kedusha. Rav Huna Omar b'chol elu tanan. Rav Huna insists on having all of the different elements that are mentioned in the Mishnah, the six different elements. Kosovar, he is of the opinion Kedusha Rishona Kitcho L'Shaita V'Kitcho L'Osid Lovoi. The original Kedusha that was established in the time of the building of the first temple was not only for its own time but for all future as well. And if one would require all of the elements, then Ezra would not have been able to Mekadesh, because in the time of Ezra there were things missing. You didn't have Urim V'Tumim nor Melech, so that the Mishnah that mentions you have to have all of the elements, they were present during the Kedusha Rishona, when the Kedusha was officially initially established. That Kedusha was sufficient for all time to come. And as the Gemara points out, the Ezra, when he came and there appeared to be a ceremony of sanctification, that was not an official sanctification. That was Zecher Bi'alma Hudiyavad. It was simply in memory of what was once done. Very simply, what he did wasn't actually needed or essential, because the Kedusha that was done and that was established during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, that was sufficient for all times. Rav Nachman Omar Ba'achas Mikol Elu Tanan. When sanctification needs to be done, it's sufficient that you have one of the elements. Kosova, Rav Nachman is of the opinion, Kedusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita V'lo Kitcha L'Osid L'Voy. The time of sanctification, the sanctification that took place in the time of the first temple was not permanent, wasn't for future generations. When Ezra came to build the second Beis HaMikdash, and he proceeded with a dedication ceremony, Kedushei Kodesh Afagav Delohavu Urim V'Tumim, what he did was an actual sanctification, and it took hold even though he didn't have the Urim V'Tumim. Because as Rav Nachman says, you don't need to have all of the elements to create sanctity. Let us glance at the Rashi, the second line from the top, Rav Huna Omar Bechol Elu Tanan, Kosovar Klomar. This is to say, V'i Mishum Kiddush Ezra. And if you'll ask, according to Rav Huna that says you have to have all of the elements, so how do you explain the sanctification of Ezra, which was during the second time period, the second temple time period, as Rashi says, Dahavoy Bebayis Sheni, below Melech, below Urim V'Tumim, it lacked the presence of a king, and it lacked the Kohen Godol's breastplate. The Amrinu B'Maseches Yuma Chamishu Dvorim Choser Mikdash Sheni. The second temple lacked five things that were present in the first temple: Eish, Shechina, Oron, Urim V'Tumim, Ruach HaKodesh. And one of the elements that's mentioned here is the Urim V'Tumim. Kosovar, so the answer to that particular question concerning Ezra, Rav Huna is of the opinion, Kedusha Rishona, the David Shlomo Lo Batla, the original sanctity that was imposed during the time of David and Shlomo, never became voided. V'lo hutzruch Ezra l'kadesh klum. Ezra didn't really have to sanctify anything. Shehu lo hoisif klum ba'irach v'rochav. He didn't increase areas in length and width. Humay de kodesh k'dichtiv amido shtei todos v'zecher ba'alma ovad. And since he wasn't adding in dimension, in area, anything, whatever he did, his sanctification ceremony was merely ceremonial, and that's what the Gemara refers to as Zecher, in memory, Zecher Bi'almo Ovad. Turning back to the Gemara, we have a new geometric form, a crown form. This is also explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. The crown form, we encounter Kushyos al Rav Nachman. We'll be asking questions on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, let's remind ourselves, held that the original sanctity during the time of David and Shlomo was of a non-permanent nature. It was v'lo kitchelosed lavo. The questions that we'll be raising on Rav Nachman are mimakoros she bohem royim detzrichin kol hadvarim kedei lekadesh. We'll be asking questions on Rav Nachman from sources that indicate that you need to have all of the elements, unlike that which Rav Nachman said that one element, one of the elements is sufficient. So we go on in the Gemara. Eisve Rava le Rav Nachman. Rava raises an objection to Rav Nachman. The following source, our mission, it says, Kol Shaloi Naasis Bechol Elu. Any sanctification that takes place without all of the elements. So from our mission, we've dashed and underlined the key expression, Kol Elu, that you need to have all of them. Not like Rav Nachman said. He said, Be'achas Mikol Elu. So Rav Nachman responds, Tani. Restate the Mishnah or re-understand it. When it says b'chol elu, it simply means ba'achas mikol elu, with one of the things in the list. Toshma, we have a source that is noted with a crown marking on the to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, giving you a feeling of the length of this particular Toshma, this attempt to raise a question. Within this source, we will eventually see a question on Rav Nachman. In this source, we've marked off, highlighted different phrases, but what we want to draw your attention to is two dashed underlined phrases. The third line of this source has the expression B'chol Elu. A reference to the need for all of the elements. This source will be describing the an area that we'll say extends forth from Yerushalayim, the original Yerushalayim. The original Yerushalayim, let us say, as was established in the time of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. There was a period at which they extended the walls of the Yerushalayim to include a greater area. And this extended wall, or the newly encompassed area, was on Har HaMashcha, sometimes referred to also as Har HaZesim. The source begins, Toshma, we read the introductory expression, Toshma, come and hear, eventually a question on Rav Nachman. Abashol Omer, Shnei Bitzin Hoyu Bahara Mashva, Tachtoino Velyona. There were two marshy areas on the Mount of Mashva, Har HaZesim. A lower area and an upper one. Tachtoino Niskacha B'chol Elu. The lower one was sanctified with all of the elements. We see from here, by the way, that this increased area was done during the time of the first temple period, and they added it on to the original walled city. El Yoino Loi Niskacha B'chol Elu. The upper marshy area was not sanctified with all of these elements. Ela B'Oiloi Goila Shaloi B'Melech V'Shaloi B'Urim V'Tumim. It was surrounded by a wall during the time of the Oilei Goyla, which would be a later time period, not during the first temple time period. Tachtoino Shoiso Kedushoso Gemura, the lower area that had a full-fledged sanctity level. Ame Haaretz Nichnosim L'Sham Va'Uchlim Sham Kodshim Kalim Avalo Meiser Sheni. The ignorant ones would go into that enclosed area, the lower extension, eat their Meiser Sheni, eat their Kodshim Kalim there, but not their Meiser Sheni. The Chaverim Uchlim Sham Kodshim Kalim U'Meiser Sheni. The knowledgeable ones, the Chaverim, they would eat their kochim kalim, sacrifices of a kochim kalim status, and their meiser sheni tithes. It may be pointed out that kochim kalim and meiser sheni may be eaten in all of the area considered Yerushalayim. So the lower increased area, being that it was sanctified with all of the elements, it gained the sanctity level of Yerushalayim, thereby enabling kochim kalim and meiser sheni to be consumed there. As far as the practice of the Ami Oretz, Rashi offers an elaborate explanation. We will continue in the Gemara. Elyona Shelo Hoisa Gdushosa Gemura, the upper area on Har Hamashcha, that which did not have a full Kedusha level, a Yerushalayim Kedusha level. The Amayorets here are going to be the same as their practice as the Amayorets mentioned with the Tachtona. The Amayorets are Nechosim Shem Vechom Shem Kochim Kalam Avoloi Meiser Sheni. Chaverim, and they're worthy of more of our attention because they are knowledgeable ones. And you see that in the Elyono Le'enoichlim Shom Lo'ikotchim Kalam V'lo Meiser Sheni, they ate nothing of a holy nature in that upper area. Umitneima Lo'ikitshua, why did they not sanctify that upper area? Very simply, Shein Moisifin Aliyir V'Alazoros Ol B'Melech V'Navi V'Metumah Sanhedrin Shel Shivim Echod U'Vishtei Todos U'Bashir. Notice here you have also all of the elements that were mentioned in the Mishnah. You have to have a Melech, a Novi, Urim V'Tumim, the Sanhedrin of Shivim of 71, Shtei Todos, and Shir. If you number them, you can see, like we have in our marked edition, six elements. If we skip the bracketed section momentarily, because the bracketed section simply presents a loshon that needs tikkun. So the tikkun is after the brackets. Loma hichnisua. So why do they bother enclosing that area, that upper area of Har HaMashcha, if it doesn't really gain a Jerusalem sanctity? But nei shetorfu shirushalayim hoisa v'nochi lichbosh misham. Otherwise it was turfa, like the open or exposed area of Yerushalayim. It was an exposed area, and if an enemy were to come and encamp on that upper area, being that there previously was no wall, it would be strategically very dangerous to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Jerusalem could easily be captured from that point. Therefore, it was necessary for them to wall it off. Let's reread the Gemara now. After having read the six elements that are necessary, the Braisa goes on to say, "V'lama kichua." To this, which translates as, "Why did they sanctify it?" "Lama kichua amr lo kichua." How can you ask why did they sanctify it when a moment ago you said "lo kichua"? And we've dashed underlined that expression. You can see explicitly that it wasn't sanctified. Elo lama hichnisua. The more accurate question is, if it didn't gain the sanctity of Yerushalayim, so why did they bother including it in a walled section, let us say, adjoining it or attaching it to Yerushalayim? So the answer to that is, Mesha Torfosh Yerushalayim Hoysov Anochi Lichbosh Misham. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new geometric form, a house marking. In the outside margin, we see the nosei, mivneh, the topic and structural note are combined. We see a house form. Nisyonos lahamid kimachlokes tanoim hanosei shel kedusha rishono ikidsho l'shaito afilu l'osid lavo. We are, in the next section of Gemara, going to be attempting to set up this question of the sanctity of the first temple. Namely, Kedusha Rishona, is that Kedusha also permanent or just till the Chorban, just till the destruction? As we mentioned, we are now going to start attempts in the Gemara to set that issue up as a Machloikis Tanoim, as a Tanei controversy. The Gemara says Tanoihi, and we also have included a long marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see the word tanoi encompassed by a house marking and a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this attempt. So the Gemara says tanoihi. It appears to be a machlokes tanoim, the issue of the longevity of the Kedusha Rishona. Disanya, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Shomati. Kishoyiboinin beheichal, I heard that when they were building the heichal, also kloyim laheichal, kloyim lazoros. They set up curtains during the time of Ezra. That when we should have noted that Kishoyiboinin, it's a reference to the May Ezra, the beginning of the second temple period, they set up curtains
to represent the Heichal and to represent the Azoros. And so that while the curtains were standing, they were then setting up the stones that eventually formed the walls. Ela shebeheichal bonim mibachutz, when it came to the Heichal, that was the enclosed structure containing the menorah and the Mizbeach Azov and the Shulchan of Lechem Aponim, when they were building in that curtained off area, the stones they were laying were laid on the outside of the curtain. Ubazoros, when they were building the walls of the Azora, boinin mibifnim, they set up the stones within the curtained area. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, shamati shemakrivin afal pi she'ein bayis. I heard that it's possible to offer sacrifices even if the temple is not standing. Oichlin, kochim afal pi she'ein kloyim, kochim kalam umaisu she'ein afal pi she'ein kloyimah. And I also heard that you can eat the high-level sanctity korbanos, the kochim kochim, for example, like a chatos or an osham, even if there are no curtains. And kochim kalam umaisu she'ein, and I likewise heard that you can eat the lower level sanctity korbanos and meiser sheni, the tithe of one's produce in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, which is required to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So one can eat that afal pi shein choyma, even if there is no wall standing. Bnei shekedusha rishon kishel l'shaita v'kishel l'osid lavo. Rabbi Yoshua explains that the reason that these things can take place, the achidus kochei kochim, even if there are no kloyim, even if no curtains fencing off the temple courtyard, and even if and the kochim kalim and maaser sheni, even if there's no wall, because the sanctity that was originally imposed on that, on those areas, lasts forever. Well, it's pretty clear that Rabbi Yeshua's position is that kitchel l'shaita, kitchel l'osid lavo. We can infer lav michlal the Rabbi Eliezer savar lo kitchel l'osid lavo. It would then stand to reason that Rabbi Eliezer, who disagrees in this source, would hold that the original sanctity was not of a permanent nature, giving weight to Rav Nachman's opinion. So that you see that Rav Nachman is based on a machlokes tanoim. And that the whole issue of kitcho, kedusha rishona, kitcho l'shaito, kitcho l'osid lavo is itself a machlokes tanoim. Let us point out what Rashi mentions, where, if you notice the lower part of the page, a written in asterisk. We're going to read the dashed underlined section of Rashi. The kosalka daitach, the hanach kloyim, the Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer, who spoke about them setting up curtains in the time of Ezra, that the need for those curtains was kidei lahachshir azoros la'akriv korban, to enable the courtyard to be acceptable for the consuming of sacrifices, for the offering of sacrifices. Tim ein bayis ein korban kedusha. Ein korban. If there's no temple standing, there can't be sacrifices. The kedusha rishona botla. That would be Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. The Gemara proceeds now with a dechia. You'll notice to the left-hand side of the Gemara text a little dalet that's encircled with a dashed vertical line indicating the rejection of what we just set up. Omale Rabbi Narvashi mimai. Who is to say that this issue of kedusha rishona, how long it is to last, is really a machlokas tanoim? Dilma de kuli alma kedusha rishona kedusha l'shaita v'kedusha l'osid lavo. It may very well be that everyone will agree, even Rabbi Eliezer will agree, that the original kedusha was permanent. Umor may deshmi alei komar. Umor may deshmi alei komar. And each one said what he happened to hear as part of a tradition. But Rabbi Yeshua was not coming to argue on Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yeshua never heard that Rabbi Eliezer said that it was not kitchel osid lavo. V'chitema, and if you'll say that everyone agrees that the original sanctity was of a permanent nature, kloyim l'Rabbi Eliezer lamali, why does he have any need for the curtains that he spoke about? So to that we answer, litznuso bi'alma, for the purpose of modesty. In other words, the construction, the act of construction of the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Ezra was done in a private fashion, and that was accomplished by having curtains set up forming the boundaries of the courtyard and the stones assembled within the enclosed area. So at this point, we've rejected the suggestion that the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is a machlokas concerning kedusha rishona kishul shaita and the osid lavo, yes or no. But if you want to say, and as after we rejected setting them up as the machlokas tanoim, the Gemara now goes on with a new suggestion, elahani tanoi, disanya. We have a long marking that's worth noting to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating that all of this is necessary to set up the machlokes tanoim. We're going to find out later that Rashi points this very issue out later on when the Gemara introduces Viromini. Hello, the Gemara goes on to say Elohani Tanoi. The following are the machlokas, is the machlokas tanoim concerning kedusha rishona. The sanya Omar Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, lomo monu chachomim es elu. Why did the chachomim in Maseches Erechin? In the last parak of Maseches Erechin, there are a list of cities that are considered sanctified, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is pointing out why are those cities specifically mentioned at the end of Maseches Erechin. Shekshalu b'nei hagola motzu elu v'kitchum. Havol rishonos botlu mishabotla ha'aretz. When the newcomers came, the people that came with Ezra and Nehemiah, they found these cities, those that are mentioned at the end of Maseches Erechin, and they sanctified them. However, other cities that were originally sanctified lost their sanctification when the land was conquered during Churban Bayis Rishon. Almo kosavar kedush rishon kitchul shaita veloi kitchul osed lavo. We see from that which we just learned that the original kedusha was insufficient; it didn't last for permanently, and that's what was referred to in the line just above this, where it said avarishonos botlu, their kedusha was mevutal mishabotlo haaretz. Veromini. We now bring another source. It's presented here as a contradictory source because the opening name in this source is Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and we'll see that he says things here that quite contradict that which we mentioned before. If we skip ahead a little bit and focus on our markings, we will see at the end of this source there's a diagonal dashed underline, the Kitcha Losid Lavo. That's part of the expression Kedusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha Losid Lavo. Prior to this, we also use the same dashed diagonal underline, and we emphasized the expression Lo Kitcha Losid Lavo. So with that in mind, we will now encounter this contradiction. Viromini, Omar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. It's the same name as we saw just above. V'chi elu bilvad hoyu. Were these the only cities? V'alo kvar nemar shishim ir kol chevel argoiv mamleches oig baboshem kol elu orim betsuros chomo govoa. There were many cities that were walled and sanctified. El loma manu chachomim es elu. So what is the significance of the cities featured at the end of Maseches Erechin? Shekisha'olu b'nei ha'gola motzu elu. I'm skipping the brackets for a moment because the brackets has a situation where the loshon needs a tikkun. so the Gemara's final reading will be, as you skip the brackets, we read just before, when the B'nai Gola, these are the group of people that came back to Eretz Yisrael with Ezra and Nehemiah, when they came, Motsu Elu Umon and they counted, they enumerated them. Now, let's reread the Gemara with the bracketed section. It says, Shekesh'olu B'nai HaGola, Motsu Elu, the Kitchum, they found these cities and sanctified them. Kichum, how could that be? How could you say they sanctified them? Hashto amrinon lekamon, the lotzricho lekdushe. Later, toward the end of the brisa, we're going to see that the original kedusha was permanent, so there's no need to re-sanctify them. Elo motzu elu humon those cities that are mentioned in Maseches Erechin were found by the Ole Gola, and they enumerated them. Not only are the cities that are enumerated at the end of Erechin to be considered sanctified, but any city that you have a tradition that it was walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, kol mitzvos elu nohagois bo. Kol mitzvos elu, Rashi at the very bottom says, Mitzvahs botei orechoma v'shiluach mitzoroyim v'she'en oisin migrusheim sadeh. These are a series of three halachas that are characteristic of walled cities. So, any city that you happen to have a tradition was that was walled from the time of Yeshua has this holiness level whereby we can say kol mitzvosei osnogin svar. Because the original sanctity that they achieved way back in the time of David and Shlomo, that was of a permanent nature. Well, after all is said and done, if we just focus on that which we've highlighted with our markings, we have a contradiction within the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, the first source, the shorter one, indicating that lo kichalosid lavo, and the second source holding kichalosid lavo. How do we get out of this problem? Iboy sema tre tanoi aliva de Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. One approach is that there are really two later tanoim presenting their differing opinions as to what Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi said. So you have a machlokes tanoim, and in fact we do have a tanoi. That's what this whole piece of Gemara was dedicated to, and you can see that at the very beginning of our house, at the house marking, at the beginning of this long particular section, we have the Gemara had said Elohani tanoi. We see here the two versions of Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi representing a machlokes tanoim. Another approach to resolving the contradiction. Another approach is Chado Minaihu Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi Omra. One of these two sources was not stated by Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, but rather by Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi. Desanya Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi Omer Asher Loi Choyma Afal Pi She'ein Lo Achshav V'Hoya Loi Koydem Lachem. This posuk in Vayikra Chof Hey that spells the word lo with three letters, lamed vav aleph, is darshaned here as follows. It's darshaned that even though the word lo in a negative, that even though it does not have now, but it did have once upon a time. It did have in the time of Yeshua. That is enough to give it the permanent sanctity. So that you see that the source that says Kitchelosid Lavo would be, according to this approach, would be Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and hence a resolution of the two sources, being that they are two different Tanaic opinions and not a contradiction. Nitmo Vazora Venelmo Mimenu Tuma Vichule. The Mishnah spoke about a case where a person became Tomei in the Azora. And he forgot that he had become Tomei. Tuma v'azora menolan. Let's glance at Rashi immediately at the top. Tuma v'azora menolan. Misha nitma v'azora menolan de mechayev. He who became Tomei in the Azora. From where do we know that if he stays there or he does avodas hamikdash in there, that he's chayev to bring a korban. Ha'lo karina, this case cannot be covered by the pasuk that says velo yitamu es machaneim, that thou shalt not mitama the camp. Why? Shikvar tima. It's already tomei. By the fact that while he's standing in the azora, he became tomei. So it became tomei, and he's not now entering it to ruin it, to profane it or violate it. Let's take a look at the side of our Gemara, the Nosei Kloli, the general topic. Adam Shinitmo Bamikdash. Here we're going to be talking about a person that became Tomei while in the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to the standard cases we were dealing with before, a person who was already Tomei outside the Beis HaMikdash and entered it in a state of Tumah. The Gemara's question then, from where do we know that this is also Chayav a Korban? We have a diamond that appears in our Gemara, and we've explained its role in the outside margin under the heading Nosei Mivneh. The diamond is drawn in Shlavim stages. Lahavonas Divrei Rebbe Lozer Shenosei Mokor Lemi Shenichnas Betara V'achakach Nitma Besoch HaMikdash Shechayov Lotzes. We will see stages in the understanding of the pasuk that Rebbe Eliezer brings to describe this situation, someone who became Tomei while in the Azora. Turning back to the Gemara on the second line from the top, Omer Rebbe Lozer, Kosev Echod Omer Es Mishkan Hashem Timei. The Kosev Echod Omer Ki Es Mikdash Hashem Timei. We see two psukim that seem to say the same thing. Reading the parentheses section, Im Eino Inyan Lutuma Shebachutz, if the extra pasuk is not needed for the situation of his having become tomei before he entered, because we already have a pasuk for that. Teneo inyan lutuma shebifnim. Let us use the seemingly redundant pasuk to cover this new case of someone becoming tomei while inside the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara raises a long question: Ukroi miyasri ha mitzrich tzrichi. Are these psukim really extra? Is there an extra pasuk here? No. There's a fine difference between the two psukim, and it's that fine difference that gives rise for the need of the two psukim. Hence, it's not available for the case of Tuma Shebachutz. At this point, we now see the need for the two psukim. Desanya, Rebbe Lozer, Omer. Im ne'emar mishkan lomar ne'emar mikdash. Im ne'emar mikdash lomar ne'emar mishkan. Why does the Torah switch around the word that is used as a reference to the temple? Ilu ne'emar mishkan v'lo ne'emar mikdash. Had I just had a pasuk saying es mishkan Hashem timei, and I would not have had the pasuk referring to the mikdash, ho'isi omer, I would have thought al mishkan yehei chayav, that the chiyuv of tuma is only with regard to the Mishkan. Sharei Moshuch b'shemen haMishcha, Vel Mikdash lo yehei chayav. That the offense applies only, the offense of entering while Tomei applies only to the Mishkan, because the Mishkan had a high level of sanctity in that it was anointed with the, was smeared with the Shemen haMishcha, the special Beis HaMikdash oil. The Beis HaMikdash not having that, maybe there would be no chiyuv for entering while tomei. Ve'im ne'mar mikdash, and had I had a posuk only with regard to the mikdash, v'lo ne'mar mishkan, ha'yisi yoymer al mikdash ye'chayav, sherei kedusha soy kedusha soylam. I would have thought that the penalty exists only for the Beis HaMikdash that has a permanent type kedusha. Ve'al mishkan lo ye'chayav, the mishkan which was only a temporary type setup, one would not be chayav. L'kach ne'mar mishkan, l'kach ne'mar mikdash. And because of these two havaminas, you need both psukim. So, as we said before, the pasuk is not an eino tzorach. It's not an unnecessary pasuk per se, and therefore available for the drasha of tumah shebachutz.
as we mentioned with our markings before, we're now entering a new stage of trying to understand Rebbe Elozer's original comment. Rebbe Elozer hochi kokashile. Thusly, Rebbe Elozer was asking, Mishkan ikri mikdash u mikdash ikri mishkan. We know that the terms Mishkan and Mikdash are actually interchangeable. As we glance down into the Bach's Girsa, we see Tre Kroi Lomali. What do I need? Once I've established that Mishkan Ikri Mikdash and Mikdash Ikri Mishkan, what do I have to have two psukim for? Tre Kroi Lomali. Im Eino Inyan Lituma Shibachutz, Teneo Inyan Lituma Shibifnim. As the Gemara goes on, in the next few lines, it's going to prove that the terms Mikdash and Mishkan are interchangeable. Bishlamo Mikdash Ikri Mishkan, Dichtiv, Venosati Mishkoni Besochechem. Rashi points out, Kol Hanitan Besochechem Kori Mishkan. Any structure that represents a temple that is in your midst is referred to by the term Mishkan, so that Mishkan covers the Beis HaMikdash as well. Ela Mishkan Dikri Mikdash Minolan. Where do we see that the Mishkan is referred to by the term Mikdash? Ilemo Mirti Venosu HaKehosim Noise HaMikdash. If you'll say that the Kehos family were carrying the Mikdash in the Midbar, hence you see that There wasn't a stone base of Mikdash there, so what were they carrying? They were carrying the poles and the curtains that form the Mishkan. So if you say that that is the correct pshat, and hence from the dashed underlined word HaMikdash, you would think now it is a reference to the portable Mishkan. That, not true. Hahu ba'aron k'siv. That posuk, when it says v'nosu ha'kehosim, nosi HaMikdash, that's a reference to the ark. Of the holy ark. Elo mehocha, but rather from the following we will see that Mishkan is called Mikdash. The Osu li Mikdash v'shochanti b'socham. The Posuk says that you shall make for me a Mikdash and I will dwell in there. The Kosi v'chol asher ani mar yischa es tavnis hamishkan. So we have the Posuk describing you shall make for me a Mikdash, and then it says I will show you the form for making the Mishkan. So after referring to the Mikdash, that very structure is referred to as Mishkan. So we see that Mishkan is also called Mikdash. Hishtachavo oy shishoho kidei hishtachavo. These are actions that would result in the offense of someone who was tomei in the Azara. Before we go further, we'll note the topic heading, the nosei. Hevdel bein hishtachavoya klape pnim ma'arova leklape chutz mizrocha. We'll see a difference between bowing westward toward the hechal or bowing eastward with facing away from the hechal. Omar rova loy shonu elo shishtachave klape pnim. That which the Mishnah taught that for Hishtachavo, even if it's very rapid, even if he didn't stay there for the Shi'ur Zman of Kedei Hishtachavo, who nevertheless will be Chayev, that Chiyuv, that Chumrah, exists when he's bowing westward toward the Hechal. Avol Hishtachavo Klapei Chutz, if he stands in the Azora and bows outward, namely eastward, Shoha in, then only if, in addition to the actual action of bowing, he would need to be delayed there. So if he's delayed there, this shiur hishtachavoya, then he will be guilty. Lo shah loy. If he doesn't delay there, in other words, if he does a very rapid eastward bowing, he won't be chayav.
because he didn't stay there, he didn't tarry there the normal amount of time to accomplish his shtachavoya. He did everything very quickly. So he wouldn't be chayev. Ika the masni lo asefa. Another version of Rava and his qualification is stated with regard to the seifa. O shishoha b'chdei hishtachavo. In order to be guilty of tumah bazara, he would require the being delayed there the amount of time to do a bowing. So if you say this, if you say amount of time to do a bowing, mechlal dishtachavo gufo bayoshia. It seems from here that for the, in order for shtachavoya to generate an offense, it would be with a time element, that it itself requires delay. Omar Rava. This is our second version of Rava. We call it the Bayes version. Lo shanu, the idea that hishtachavoya is insufficient on its own to create chiyuv, but it needs this time element as well. So this idea that it needs shihiya, lo shanu elo hishtachav klapei chutz. That is when he is active bowing was done outwards, namely toward the east. Aval klapei pnim afagav de lo shah. But if he bows inwards toward the west, facing the Heichal, and he is Tomei, of course, because that's our Sugya, if he bows Klapei Pnim, Afagav de Lo Shoha, even if he didn't delay the amount of time it normally takes to bow, nevertheless, he'll be Chayev. V'hochi Komar. And thusly, one should understand the Mishnah. Hishtachav Klapei Pnim, even a very, very rapid, but he did that. He bowed inwards. Oishishoh kedei ishtachavoya, behach ishtachavo deklapei chutz, chayav. Or, he delayed the amount of time it would take to bow, and he bowed that way outwards. Then, and only then, would he be chayav. So, we see the following breakdown. A bowing inwards is mechayev the tome, even if the bowing he did in a very rapid fashion. However, if someone was bowing outwards, not pnim, but rather chutz, so a rapid chutz bowing would not generate a violation. Violation is achieved only if he does a he tarries there, he delays there the amount of time to bow, and only then, if you're talking about someone bowing outwards, only then would he be chayev. Before we continue in the Gemara, we're going to notice the appearance of a house form. Glancing at the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, She'elois Shemivarin Shi'urim Shel Ishtachavoya V'Shiyah. Questions that will help to clarify the issues concerning amounts of time for bowing and delays, meaning someone who, after becoming Tomei, he tarries in the Azara. Hechi Domi, the Gemara asks, Hishtachavo de is boshia. Hechi Domi, Hishtachavo de les boshia. What is meant by a Hishtachavoya that has a delay with it, and what is meant by Hishtachavoya without any delays? So the Gemara goes on to explain. It's going to explain in the reverse order of how it was presented, and you'll notice that's why we use this little lettering to indicate the change in order. The less boshiya, zu kriya bi'almohi. The idea of a very rapid bowing that has no real time of delay attached to it, but just focusing on the action, that is a mere kriya, a mere bowing, so to speak, as opposed to a full-fledged prostration. Vehechi the isba hishia, the type of bowing that has along with it a delay, that is a bowing that involves pishut yadayim raglayim, a full-fledged prostration where he gets down on the ground, stretching out his arms and legs. V'kamo shi'ur shi'a, when we speak about the amount of time to do that, how much time is that? So then in the next several lines, we're going to be encountering a lot of names before we get to the answer for how long is that shi'ur shi'a. How long is the time that it takes to do a full prostration? So bear with the Gemara in the name presentation. Pligi ba Rav Yitzchok bar Nachmeni v'chad di'imei, and there was an argument between Rav Yitzchok bar Nachmeni and someone who was with him, and who was that? Umonu, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, the Amri law, another version, Rabbi Shimon Pazi, the Chadi Imei, Umonu, Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmeni, the Amri law, and instead of having Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmeni, read rather Rabbi Shimon bar Nachmeni. Chad Omar, Kememre, the High Psuka, the Shiur Zman of Kedei Hishtachavoya, namely Hishtachavoya, the Isbo Shia, is the amount of time it takes to read the following pasuk. You'll notice the reading involves looking at the Bach here. V'chol b'nei Yisrael v'chulei. The v'chulei is found a little bit later on the line. You'll see a bracketed piece of Gemara, and the proper girsa is to skip right now to the bracketed section and read it. So we'll read v'chol b'nei Yisrael royim beredes o'esh u'kvod Hashem al habayis v'yichru apayim arzo al haritzbo v'yishtachavu v'hoido yisla Hashem kito kilom chasto. The amount of time it takes to say that posuk is what is referred to as a hishtachavoya de'isbo shihia. Turning to the Gemara right before the brackets, we now see v'chad omar ki mi v'yichru l'seifa. The other opinion of how long is a hishtachavoya de'isbo shihia, it's the amount of time it takes to read from the middle of that posuk, and we've added a dashed underline from the word vayichru till the end, vayichru apayim arzo al ritzvah shavu lahodus Hashem kitov yomasto. We encounter a new Tanaic source. In it, we feature one of our series markings, the double underline. On the outside margin, we see mivne, the double underline, hadgoshas, emphasis of three words, kido, kriyo, ishtachavoya, different forms of bowing and prostration. Tana Rabbana, the source begins, Kida, when you see the word Kida in the Tanakh, Al Apayim, it's a bowing where the face is facing the floor, where bows, one would bend his body at his waist. V'chenu Omer, V'tikoid Bas Sheva Apayim Oratz. The Posuk says that Bas Sheva did this act of V'tikoid Kida with her face, Apayim Oratz, facing the ground. So that would be a bending at the waist with the face facing downwards. Kriya al birkayim, that's getting down on one's knees. V'chenu omer mikroa al birkov. So you see the word kriya associated with birkov, one's knees. Hishtachavoya zu pishut yadayim raglayim. That's a complete floor prostration. V'chen omer havo navo ani v'imcho v'achecho l'hishtachavos l'cho artso. See the word hishtachavoya, artsa, groundwards, indicating that the person is completely spread out on the floor. At this point in the Gemara, we notice a triangle which starts a series of questions, and we featured this on the outside margin, nosei mivneh. You see a triangle there. Sidra shel she'elois, a series of questions, shehamashutaf lahem Shihia b'inyan tuma. The common theme that runs throughout these questions has to do with an issue of delay in the context of impurity. Boy Rava, sorach shihia l'malkos, o ain sorach shihia l'malkos. if a person was warned, do not delay, and he delayed less than the shi'ur shi'ya. And in the Gemara just before, we discussed this issue of shi'ur shi'ya. Let us say, for example, the amount of time it takes to bow on the ground. Let's say a person who was tamei stayed in the Beis HaMikdash less than the amount of time for hishtachavoya. What is his... But he did delay. In other words, he didn't go in and out immediately, but he went into the Beis HaMikdash while tamei, delayed there a bit, but less than the shi'ur shi'a time. What is his din with regard to receiving lashes? Up till now, we've discussed the issue of bringing a korban, and we've concluded that in order to be chayav a korban, in order to be obligated to bring a korban, one would be required to delay there the amount of time kidei hishtachavoya. What about as far as malchus is concerned? Maybe we apply a more stringent approach to malchus, that even without the shi or shia, one may be chayav. That's Rava's question. Boy, Rava, sor shia la malchus o ein sor shia la malchus? We have a question is presented. Aleph O Dilma Beis, two sides to the question. Le korban gemiri shia malchus lo gemiri shia. Is it so that only with regard to a korban do we gemiri, I mean, have a tradition that a certain amount of time is necessary before the korban obligation is generated? But for lashing, we don't have the time of shia is not binding, and hence, even for less than the shi or shia, one will be guilty. Oidilma b'fnim gemiri shia. The issue of shia, of the delay while tameh in the Beis HaMikdash, is a shi or zman referring to all halachas pertaining to inside, b'fnim, internal. Lo shna l'korban v'lo shna l'malchus. Making no distinction between korban nor malchus. Just like for korban, there's no sacrifice obligation unless he is shohed the shiur zman of shihya. So likewise for malchus, there will be no malchus punishment. Of course, malchus is when he violates it knowingly and was warned. Likewise, there will be no malchus penalty unless he stayed there the shiur zman shihya. So the question was raised, but teku, no, it remains unresolved. And with that, we complete our shiur for today.